are excited to have you here, but we're looking forward to this conversation. And this episode, this is a new something new we're rolling out called This Just In. So we're talking about a lot of hot topics that are taking place. Everything that's been going on in the news, starting with Mr. Donald Sterling, the NBA.
Isn't that
something? Isn't it a mess?
Mm-hmm. The plantation.
Uh-huh. And it's going to be funny, too, talking to you, too, because what people don't know, understand is about that you're a publicist,
uh-huh,
and you have a different perspective.
Of course.
Coco's a publicist also.
Yes.
So what you guys have to understand, all you listeners out there, that you're going to hear a different perspective on what happens in Hollywood and behind the scenes from this type of perspective from what we know versus what you see.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that that's two completely different things.
Yeah.
Because let's just even back up and say this. What is a publicist? First, explain out to the audience out there, because I know what a publicist is and Coco knows what a publicist is. But can you please explain to the general audience out there who's listening what a publicist is and what you do day to day?
Mom asked me that all the time. What's your job? Because
it's not a factory worker.
Exactly.
You're not going to McDonald's.
Exactly.
You're not a secretary.
Exactly. No.
But it's a little bit of all that.
Exactly. Basically, I'm a highly paid babysitter. And basically, what I do is I work in television, film, and personal publicity. And when we say personal publicity here in Los Angeles, we mean that we work with talent. So I've represented like NeNe Leakes, Shirley Rao, Victoria Rao. So we work with talent, mm-hmm, and celebrities. We take them in the bosom of our arms,
yes,
and we kind of recreate and reshape and rebrand how they are promoted and how they are presented to the public, mm-hmm, basically.
Absolutely.
But the funny thing is, like, my nickname is Publicist du Jour, mm-hmm, which is French for publicist of the day. And I got that nickname. It's a nod to a film by Catherine Deneuve called, mm-hmm, Belle du Jour, because by day she's a prostitute when her husband is gone off to work, and then she would come home at night and then be this happy, lovely wife. And so it's kind of a nod to her, and it's kind of like a kind of a wink, because sometimes we as publicists feel like prostitutes.
I get your
meaning. Yeah. Exactly. And so I always tell my clients that, like, I'm their publicity pimp. I will put them out on a corner. Like, if it's going to generate publicity, you got to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, if they say, oh, I got to put the kids in the bed. Oh, wow, you got kids? Oh, shoot. Like, I'm such a hound, for publicity. So, but basically, that's what we do. We help shape the overall image of a person, place, or thing, a noun. Mm-hmm. So it could be a shoe, a coat, mm-hmm,
right,
you know,
right,
a person, mm-hmm, a film, anything that's a noun, which is a person, place, or thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I would ask you who's been your favorite client and who's not, but we won't even go that far. Let's just say.
Actually, you know what? I will say, I mean, I've had a chance to work with so many amazing people, but because he's in the news right now, I will say that, oh my God, Isaiah Washington is so about his business. Mm-hmm. I had a chance to work with him or represent him during a Pan-African Film Festival, because he had a slate of projects at the Pan-African Film Festival, including Blackbird,
okay,
that starred Oscar winner Monique.
Mm-hmm.
That man is so on point and so about his game. When I told him he needed to be somewhere for an interview, he was 5 minutes early.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, but I've worked with a lot of people that I love. Mm-hmm. You know, Victoria Rao, you know, that, I mean, just so many. I mean, if I start saying names, then, you know, it's like.
Well, just the only reason why I said to say some names is so people could understand just the magnitude of, like, you're not, you know, the publicist for Peter, the matchmaker or nothing,
mm-mm,
like that. You're a publicist for A-list African-American stars out there.
Exactly. And one of the things I will say, you know, I've seen the whole genre of reality stars really grow. And
yes,
I remember, like, back in the day, this was maybe like 2004, 2005, I remember taking my first reality star, and that was like something like, well, we ain't gonna tell nobody that I've ever seen you. You know, and now that seems like I get a call every, mm-hmm, other day about a, you know, reality star or whatever. But my first real big reality star was Uchenna and Joyce Ogwu, who was the black couple that won The Amazing Race, number seven. That was number seven. So what, they on 35 now?
Wow.
I didn't even know that.
Exactly. So I was like one of the first publicists that really embraced the whole reality and talent and started working with talent.
Well,
yes.
That's good.
One interesting question that I have, and there's a lot of, sometimes when you're dealing with certain actors or certain talent, period, there is that sense of damage control. And that is my issue with Donald Sterling. He has put his foot so far in his mouth. There's no damage control.
I don't think Donald Sterling has put his foot in his mouth. I just think people finally woke up to who he is.
Yeah.
And like I wrote this in my blog, Ranting from the Red Carpet, WillisaBennett.com. I wrote this, that this man has a history of racial discrimination between blacks and Latinos. Now, his girlfriend is half black and Latino. I guess her drop of black blood didn't count when he was trying to hook up with her. But it's to me what was kind of interesting is, like, for years this man, I mean, he holds like he has the highest, the biggest, the largest racial discrimination for housing by the government and the Justice Department, like $2.73 million.
Wow.
Like the largest. This man has been playing God where people can live, blacks, white, Latinos, for years. But, and NBA knew this, but they started talking, he started talking about his $40 million slaves and Magic Johnson. Suddenly, NBA got a problem. And I say $40 million slave because that is a name of a book by New York sports columnist, I think William Roden. He wrote that like 2006, 2007 about basically black men on a liken, you know, the playing field to a plantation. They just making $40 million. So it just seems like suddenly when, you know, Donald Sterling's talking about $40 million slaves and Magic Johnson, suddenly, wait a minute, he's gone too far.
Wow.
Like, he could mistreat Shaquita and Jose all day long. But when he said, told his girlfriend, you can't take a picture with Magic Johnson, oh, now they got problems.
Yeah, they have.
I knew she was
going to
be funny.
Yeah. So, they had a huge problem.
Yeah, but you know, I just feel like the whole Clippergate is a microcosm to just our society in general. There are tons of Donald Sterlings out there that's in a position of power that can play God with people's lives, blacks, Latinos, Jews, and women who can stay. And the thing about him, he is ferocious when it comes to litigation.
Wow.
Like, because he has the money, he ain't selling nothing. He's gonna be in court with you. And for a PR thing, let me just let you know, this whole thing about his prostate cancer, that's a PR thing, y'all.
Yeah.
All right? Because, you know, we've been beating him up, calling him racist. Now his people are like, well, let's roll this out.
Yeah,
so
now
we can start getting some sympathy.
Tug at the heartstring.
Yeah, but let me tell you how karma's a bitch. Because several years ago, when one of his staff people was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and his insurance didn't cover the surgery, this billion-dollar man said, I'm sorry, I can't help you.
Oh, wow.
And the Clippers, a couple of players from the Clippers, had to pool their resources together and help this staff person get the surgery. So isn't it a trip now that the same thing that you wouldn't help somebody else beat, now you got? Now,
oh, wow.
You know, I just think he's just a crummy person, and he probably do need to die. You know?
Well, on that note, whether you agree with her or disagree with her, call in the number, bring him the number.
Let's hear what you have to say. The
slow
number is 888-414-1732. Again, that number is 888-414-1732. Let's get your point of view on this subject. I didn't know that.
You know, when people are so mean, you'd be like, I'm from the South. That's what we say. When people are so mean, they'd be like, they just need to go ahead and die. Yeah.
Well, you read what you sow all day long.
Exactly. Wow. That's how I see it.
Yeah. Hey,
that's it.
Yeah, and that's one of the current affairs everybody's talking about. You know, I think the other thing that came in on other current affair that we did not talk about this morning or today all day, but I'm going to put it out there, was that this racial tension thing is really bad. And I'm going to say this. Being from Boston, let me school both of you because there's a sports event that happened last night. The Boston Bruins lost last night, and the winning goalie who shot the goal was a black man. Now, so many people from Boston called this man the N-word that the N-word was trending on Twitter all day.
Wow.
And the sad thing about it is because it was coming from Boston. Now, here's the other kicker thing. His younger brother is playing for the Boston Bruins minor league right now. That most of the Boston Bruins people don't even realize that this black man, even though he's playing on the Montreal team that you don't realize, his younger brother, who's supposed to be better than him, is coming up through the Bruins organization. Is, you know, you guys are calling him. So what are you going to do say now? You're going to say, okay, well, he's the N-word, but he's not because he's playing for the Bruins? Is that the sense, is that how we're going right now with this?
Boston was getting better.
No, we're from Boston. It's the same. It's the same.
Well, you know, I was telling Coco. You know, my dad was raised in Boston, so we had peeps up in Boston. So we were talking about Boston, but, you know, we were from the rough section. You know?
Yeah, us too.
From the berry.
Is that what it's called? The berry. Yeah. I just know when we would go visit my grandmother, that's where we were going. Of course, when you're young, you don't know good or bad. You just know you're going to see grandma. You know? Until when you get old and say, yeah, my grandma lives in Roxford. And people look at you like, what? Like, oh.
Don't say that. Oh, you be with somebody like, no, live downtown.
Downtown. Live in the Back Bay area.
Just calm down on that. Just calm down. Yeah.
That's how it be.
But exactly.
No, I just brought it up because all the racial stuff that's coming out, especially, it's not like it's not new. It's, you know, we're just talking about it more now because of what happened with the Clippers thing.
Yeah.
You know? Being from Boston, I'm used to it. I know she's used to it. We used to it all the time. But now everybody here is, oh, my God, the Lakers in L.A. This shouldn't happen. Well,
let me tell you something. I'm from the South where they'll call you into your face.
Yes.
Now, the great thing is I can count on my fingers, my hand with fingers left over, how many people have said it to my face.
Wow.
You know, I mean, which is great. But by the same token, the one thing I can appreciate about the South and its racism is they're overt about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, when you get to L.A., they try to be covert about
it. Yes.
Like, they pretend like they don't see you in the grocery line. Like, you see me? I'm 5'8 with a blonde afro. You gonna pretend like you don't see me. You gonna put your groceries in front of mine and pretend like I don't exist.
Right.
And at first, it's a mind game. You think, is it just me? And then I started asking people that, and they said, no, well, Lisa, that's a little mind game.
Yes,
That's a little mind game they play.
Yeah.
So I had to make what I call the adjustment. Like, excuse me, your groceries on that conveyor belt? You're going to have to take them off. Because I'm in front of you. I know you didn't see all 5'8 of me. I know you didn't see all this.
Right.
She's hilarious.
But I'm here and accounted for.
Well, now, since you're so opinionated, let's talk about your blog, because I want to hear about this blog of yours.
Well, this is the thing. I'm a writer. What most people don't know, people just think I'm this celebrity publicist, blah, blah, blah. But actually, I started my career as a writer back in North Carolina. And then, of course, when I started my business as a publicist, I kind of put the writing aside and was writing and doing for clients. And then I just found myself terribly frustrated just over the years and couldn't figure out why. And then I realized, oh, my God, it's like being a musician and not playing your instrument every day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I just said, you know, it's time for me to get back to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I started this blog. I launched it last week on my birthday, where I turned 49.
Happy birthday.
Happy belated birthday. You look good, girl.
Girl, I'm trying, girl. I'm trying to work it out. And, you know, most people, like, wait for the big 50 and da-da-da. And I said, you know, I want to celebrate 49 because in your 40s is when you really start concentrating and thinking about your mortality.
Yes.
Because that's when people start dropping left and right. Yes. And you be like, I went to school with them. Mm-hmm. He's a year younger than me.
And alive.
And still standing, you know what I'm saying? So I did this blog, and one of the things, I just wanted to be so truthful and honest, you know, straight, take it straight with no chaser. You know, I call out names, you know.
You do?
Yeah, call that now? Like, I was giving people the top 10 things. Like, I actually went back. There was an article I wrote when I was 30 years old about turning 30. Mm-hmm. And so it was really fun to look back at that article and say, okay, this is the top 10 things I would tell myself at 30.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. And number 10 was shave and tweeds. That was like the number 10. Wow. Shave and tweeds. Not going to elaborate, but if you're not shaving, you're not tweezing, trust me, you need to shave and tweeze. Okay?
I think that went over my head, but the ladies probably get it.
The girls get it. The girls get it. So I went through top 10 lists, and, you know, we'll talk about a couple of other things. And, you know, and it's like, basically, I wanted to be able to talk to women and just, like, be honest. You know, I talk about my daddy issues. And this is one of the things that I'm, like, now that I've kind of, like, opened, like, the Band-Aid about daddy issues. Because my issue with my daddy is I had a great, loving, doting father. Mm-hmm. And then he died. Mm. And then so I'm dealing with abandonment issues, which has affected me in relationships or their lack of, because I'm like a commitment foe. But I don't know, I'm starting to wonder, what is it better to have a father and they and then they go, or is it better not to have a father and not know what you miss? You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, I get it.
So but so and the next week I'm gonna talk about my daddy issues.
I'm gonna write
about some daddy issues. But I just try to like really bring what I do, like just make it very accessible. Mm-hmm. Like, because, you know, when I go home to Burlington, North Carolina, you know, you put stuff on Facebook and everything. Yeah. But people be like, when I go home, people be like, oh, my God, like, it's the news of the day. You know? Like, I'm a freaking rock star. Like, you know, it's like everyday stuff we're posting here.
Right.
Well, honey, when I go home, it's like, oh, my God, you got that and that. Like, that's
the, I know the feeling.
Yeah, it's like, it's like, you know, it's like we are in this little bubble
because exactly.
we're just posting stuff and doing our job. But then when we go home outside of what
outside
we do,
I really know the feeling.
Yeah, people are just like, oh, my God, and coming up to you and talking, you know, talking about something you posted 3 weeks ago or 3 months ago.
Here's the killer. Here's the killer. People you weren't that friends with now want to be your best friend on Facebook. I'm like, Negro, I wasn't cool with you back then. So why am I going to be cool with you now?
No, my best friend, she knows who she is when I'm saying this. Like, her husband was like, yeah, tell Walisa, you know, I was talking to somebody at work about my friend Walisa. I was like, we're friends? He actually used that verbiage? Like, we're friends now?
I know the feeling.
It's like the crazy thing. But let me tell you something. Like I said, still a country girl at the end of the day. Because, like, if I'm going home, I will put on Facebook, heading home.
Right.
And there's this place in Burlington, a hot dog place that we go to called Jack's Hot Dogs. I was like, let's all get together. And my classmates be like, yeah, let's get together. And so the last time I was home, I met a bunch of my classmates at Jack's Hot Dogs, and we were all laughing and talking and everything. You know, just still trying to keep it real.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Because,
you know, I mean, I work in Hollywood, but I'm not Hollywood.
Right, right. Exactly. And there's a big difference.
It's a big difference.
Big difference. All right, that's my song right there.
Well, anyway, it's the first half or first section of Flow Therapy with Coco, Frank Nitti, and Miss Walisa Bennett, a publicist extraordinaire. We'll be right back in just a few secs. Gotta pay some bills.